Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this April 5th, 2023. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, Mr. Seth Happager.
Good morning, everyone.
Good to have you here. Seth, how you doing?
It's good to be here in the foggy morning that it is today. Wow.
It's a London morning today.
It is, very much so.
It's bloody foggy out there today. You better watch out where you're going.
I was driving up here. I thought, oh, I'm on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, right?
I should be on the left side.
What are you all doing? Side of the road. We're going to have some fun today, everybody, and I'm going to try not to do too many accents. That is going to push my voice.
It's a little early to do an accent,
isn't it? Yeah. A little early. We're going to get into some of the local election coverage and some of the results that we have. We will also touch on a couple of other fun things this morning. I've got egg prices are high, so people are painting something else.
Ooh.
And I want to get into that.
That's cool.
Work wife appropriate. So I don't know what that means.
What?
I want to figure out what it means. A work wife or a work husband.
Work wife appropriate. Okay.
Yeah. I want to figure that out. I've heard those terms a little bit, but I honestly don't know much about it. Somehow, Frank's Red Hots may have made SpaghettiOs even worse. I'm kidding. I know a lot of people love SpaghettiOs. That's coming up a little bit, too. And we've got some great entertainment news for you as well. So in this 7 o'clock hour, in a little bit, we'll get into our National Day of calendar. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And then after Melissa's news, we're going to have our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Phil Hartley going to join us, give us a new word to add to our lexicon.
Yes, it's wicked awesome.
He's wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome.
More accents.
darn, I thought we weren't going to do that.
That's all coming up for you. 9 o'clock hour, good stories of the day. That ain't right stories. That's where we'll hit up on some entertainment news. When we're done hanging out with you this morning, we'll get in the morning magazine. 10 to 11 today, we hang out with Wood County Sheriff's Department.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if Sheriff Becker is brave enough to face... No. I haven't seen Sean in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So we'll see if Sean is in this... And last month he wasn't with us, so we'll see if he's with us this month. Either way, we always have great guests. It's a really, really good hour. Cannot encourage you enough to listen to it.
That's right.
I want to start off the show with a big thank you and a big clap and a big shout out to our civic media news team.
Yeah.
What work last night, man. How these, if there are awards for these things,
yeah,
then we won them last night. Not that matters, because what's important is getting the information to you all, but I was so blown away by the coverage of this team. You guys listening may not know a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on, but we're not that big of a team.
It really isn't that big. No.
Civic media in general. You can listen to us from the front of the state to the back of the state. We have been able to spread that way, but we are still, kind of a small team when you set us in separate stations and all this.
Right.
And the chemistry and the way that everybody was able to work together last night, not just this one, but the previous election. The previous election, I liked the coverage. I thought it was very good. I think it's fair to say we were feeling some things out.
For sure. Yeah.
This one felt smooth. This felt really, really good. Great job, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Special shout out to Melissa Kay, our favorite.
Of course.
Nice job.
We are biased, but you know.
Very biased, but she deserves
We don't care.
No.
We wear it like a badge.
I want to touch on some of the election coverage locally, and I want to start right here in Wisconsin Rapids, where the Wisconsin Rapids School Board, they have 100% of precincts reporting Kathy Stebbins Hintz and John Krings will be the two new members of the school board.
All right.
For those that did not hear.
Okay.
Let's see here. Moving on, I wanted to, and this is going to take a second, guys, because I'm scrolling through this.
Yeah. it's going to go through everything there.
The Nacoosa School Board, with 100% of the precincts reporting Ann Lee Peck and Jennifer Sweenson, are going to be on the board for them. Mm-hmm. Marshfield School Board, Tara Tremling and Mark Conradi. They will be on the school board for Marshfield.
All right.
Now, trying to get my mouse to work here.
It's going really slowly.
It really is.
It's too early for it, man.
It's too early for a lot of this.
Hasn't had his coffee
yet,
man.
Oh. That's what it is. Wisconsin Rapids Elder District 1, Ryan Austin. For Elder District 3, Matt Zacher. And for District 5 in Wisconsin Rapids, Jack C. Katnack. And wanted to touch on, looks like for Stevens Point, Mayor Weezer is going to be keeping in his third term, I believe.
I believe that is his third term, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, just jumping ahead here and everything to the big one by now, you have probably heard Janet Perseiowicz.
I've heard it a couple of different ways. I think you're close enough. Yeah.
Great commercial by her, by the way, with the people have mispronouncing her name.
Yes. That was clever.
I related to that very strongly. I imagine you did too.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit.
Janet Perseiowicz, with 99% of the precincts reporting, pretty handedly toppling Daniel Kelly, 56-44%.
All right.
I know that civic media, we color ourselves in blue, and I don't think there's any hiding that. We don't try to or anything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of red representation throughout the state. We believe that there should be representation of blue as well. Mm-hmm. I personally don't do that. That's not my thing. So I don't want this to come across as an RD thing or anything like that, because it could not be farther from that. I do have to take a moment, and this is just me, James J. Maloff speaking here, not for Civic, not for anybody else. I watched the election coverage yesterday, and I thought that our local news teams on TV did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see some reporting from the candidates from their parties, the what they would hope to be their succession part, their success party, or And I thought Janet's speech was kind of what we expected. Mm-hmm. I've heard her say similar things already.
Right.
The way that Daniel Kelly handled his defeat is the definition of cowardly, like a punk. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is a grown man.
Yeah.
This is a man who is supposed to be. First up, you realize, I don't know. I've never heard, this is really saying something for me. I have never heard a politician sound worse in defeat.
Mm.
Like, I had to correct this. I said the same, I said to Seth, I've never heard a politician sound worse. I had to, in defeat. I had to add the in the defeat part.
We've heard lots, to be fair.
What benefit do you have by sarcastically wishing your state good luck? And by saying, oh, I don't have a noble candidate to, if you feel that in your heart and your head, fine. But to share it is the exact opposite of what we're trying to teach kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are watching that. Kids are seeing that. Young adults are seeing that. And they're getting the impression that's the way to handle defeat. Not, maybe I did something, maybe something didn't work here and I could learn from this and maybe find a way to help my party still. Mm-hmm. Or how can I still help my state even in defeat? What can I do then? Mm-hmm. Like, how can I still give? Look, I admit I lost, but how can I still help my state? I believe in politics. I want to do this. Daniel Kelly just showed you why he does not belong in the Supreme Court.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care about
He doesn't care about
it's
you.
Obvious. He does not care.
For the love of God, the man's from Santa Barbara. He's not even from Wisconsin. Like, how did he even get this far along?
I don't know.
I've never seen a more cowardly punk politician handle the way he handled himself, man. And Daniel Kelly, james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Or you can call up 424-2600. Please feel free to, because I would love to have a conversation with that punk.
Yeah.
And I don't do this with politicians.
No.
I actually admire the majority of politicians because I understand what they're doing. Not a lot of people want to do. They're going to be taking a lot of flack. No matter if they're a great one, they're a good one, they're an average one, whatever.
Yep.
It's not an easy gig, and I get that. But when you handle yourself like a baby, like a child, I got no time for that, man.
No.
In our politics, voters should not be accepting that. Like, just because he has an R or she has an R or D in front of their name does not excuse acting like a child. Otherwise, why don't we just put kids in charge?
Yeah. Might work better, actually.
I'm all right with that.
Maybe we should give it a try.
I'm willing to give it a try right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's no class. I mean, it's like, really, I mean, he just showed who he really was by saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, the future of Wisconsin, don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
It's not somebody that I would want representing me.
No, not at all.
Not knowing what I know now and not knowing a lot of the things I knew before. Yeah. And especially, again, he's not even from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
For the love of not that I am either.
Oh, my gosh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, you hypocrite, you.
yep. Before we go to break, I did want to send a special shout out to the Marshfield Clinic in Wisconsin Rapid Center, or the urgent care there.
Mm-hmm.
I went there yesterday and got checked out. They saw me quickly. They could not have been better to me.
Nice.
And I don't have a lot of great experience with ERs or emergency rooms.
Can imagine.
Yeah. From and everything.
Yeah, right, right.
I can't five-star them enough. Just incredibly good to me. Thank you so much. Appreciate all of our everybody under that medical umbrella.
Yeah.
All of our doctors, all of our nurses. We said that a lot during the pandemic, but something that you and I would talk about during the pandemic as well, Seth, was how we also appreciate those people working the front desk, the insurance claim, you know, people helping people like pay bills, like every single person that works in that industry, we appreciate.
Good people, yes.
If you need them, they're there.
Yes,
the Marshfield
indeed.
Clinic, Wisconsin Rapid Center, a great, great facility, great place. I could not thank it enough. And no, they are not paying me.
They are not paying you.
They don't have to.
They already paid him with kindness. Yeah.
Yes. So,
this is good, though. So kudos to them. So if James, you know, we'll go back if he needs to. That's a good thing.
I actually used my insurance card for the first time yesterday. I've had it for like a year.
Yeah, exactly.
I am horrible about this stuff. It shows you what kind of pain I was in that I actually went
in. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, if you got to go, that is the place. That is a great place. Again, Marshfield Clinic, Wisconsin Rapid Center, urgent care. Thank you so much for the help. Appreciate all the work you do, not just for me, but for this community.
Exactly.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you on this April 5th. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar, where it is Child Help National Day of Hope.
Nice.
This is the one day to help kids. No.
It's the one day. That's it.
It's a reminder. from the nonprofit Child Help, this day is dedicated to the plight facing many children around the world, the devastating effects of neglect and abuse. If we're not doing this for children, then we're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you're talking about. Like, all of this, the whole plan of humanity is to take care of things so that the next generation can take over and do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not to judge them. Not to, make sure that their schools have enough funding or anything like that.
Yeah,
that's good. That kind of stuff. We're supposed to be caring about these things. Abuse comes in many forms, from physical violence to sexual abuse to sheer neglect, where necessary medical care and food are withheld. Yvonne Federson helped to establish Child Help as the co-founder and president and continues to serve in the capacity this day. She focuses on helping to establish new chapters, auxiliaries, and to help them with their fundraising in their neighborhoods and abroad. This is all to help kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
National Go for Broke Day.
Oh,
push all the chips in. I'm going for broke.
Oh, man.
There are times in our lives when we have to face our fears, push past all boundaries, and pursue our goals with tenacity and determination. This day is dedicated to going for broke, a term taken to mean that you're giving everything you've got in a get there or die trying mentality, or what I like to say, leaving it all on the field.
Yeah, there
you go.
That's
my favorite. It's one of my favorite, like, overused phrases.
Cliches.
Yes.
It's a good one. They're good, though. There's a reason we have them. Yes.
I just want to know where if they have the origin of this. No, they don't.
No, okay. They don't.
Well, we'll have it in our idioms sometime.
Yeah.
when we do one of our idioms segments. Hospital Admitting Clerks Day.
Well, how about that?
That's pretty fitting. It's a job that requires coolness under pressure, compassion, and hard work. Don't take for granted the hospital clerks that help you get the care you need.
Mm-hmm.
Humongous day.
Yes.
You can't get to the doctor if you don't go through the clerk.
You don't go through the clerk first, right?
Go through the clerk. But I think about like the lady that helped me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
There's no line. Couldn't have been more casual or kind and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But as she was doing this, and she's scanning my security, my insurance card and all that, I was thinking like, God, when was the last time I was in a hospital or anything like that? And I was thinking about it, and the last time I was in an ER, and how crazy it was, and how maddening it was that it seemed like all of this, and there was one person up front to be able to do all this. And again, it was a woman, and she was handling it like a pro. The clerk work in general, I think, deserves a little more credit, but especially in the medical field.
Well, you're so right. I mean, it's a thankless job in so many industries, but it's so important. It's always front-facing. It's always, you can't really say enough for the people that do that, because it's so prevalent in our society, and especially, you know, like it's like you said, at hospitals where it can be hectic, it can be stressful, all that sort of thing. And man, they do such a great job of keeping their cool, and that's what they need. That's the kind of people you need there.
Happy Hospital Admitting Clerks Day.
Yes.
National Read a Roadmap Day. Yeah, I like this.
My late grandfather. Okay. This would be his day. I would go to visit him, and invariably, at some point, the road atlas would come out.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would talk about what places he'd been to, or just stuff he'd, you know, that kind of stuff, which I didn't realize till later when, after he was gone. Man, that was fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. We moved around so much, and even when we weren't moving, we seemed to travel a lot. We're just gypsies in general, like literally and metaphorically, right. I guess. My papa, when I was traveling with him, who drove semi for 41 years, I got to sit in the front seat, and he'd give me the map. My nana would sit in back while she did her rosary. Mm-hmm. As soon as that map went in my hand, you might as well have called me Mario Andretti, because I was all determined on the road and us getting to where we needed to be and reading the map accurately. Now, I didn't know this for years, and I feel so foolish for this. My papa was a semi driver. He knew the roads.
He knew exactly where he was going.
Exactly. The man was never lost once. Out of the 90,000 trips we took, I never saw him lost. But he wanted, you know, me to feel him.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad he did. I think about nowadays kids not being able to read maps, and I wonder if that's something that should be, you know, I don't want to say pushed more, but I don't think it would hurt.
No.
You're not always going to be able to count on your you know, GPS or your phone or anything like that.
Exactly. And I think that's what this day is. Part of that is to remember, you know, we do have maps, and you should be able to, hopefully you know how to read one.
And I know this is going to sound ridiculous. I think maps are cool.
I think maps are cool. They are cool.
The design of a map, the history of maps, like this is all we had for so long.
Exactly.
And we're still doing a lot of the same things there. It's pretty interesting. And I think everybody should be able to read a map.
Oh, yes. 100%.
The road goes ever onward. Let's see here. It is... That's the one. I knew there was one that Seth was laughing at earlier. It's National Deep Dish Pizza Day.
Mm.
Ike Sewell invented deep dish pizza in Chicago in 1943, and that's why it's often called Chicago style.
You don't appreciate that. I can tell.
Not at all. There might even be discounts on Deep Dish Pizza Day, of course, because it's soup. I have never met a Chicagoan that loves deep dish pizza.
It's like one of those things where somebody, who knows if they were even from Chicago, felt that, no, we have to have a competition, because everything is competition with New York. You got to have a competition with New York. Okay, so what is New York famous for? Oh, those big, you know, slabs of pizza that you get out there. Well, we have to have our own kind, so let's do this? That's not a good choice.
First up, New York, there's nothing special about your pizza. Just because you cut it differently doesn't make it special. And to Chicago, that love deep dish pizza, to Ike here, it's soup. It's not pizza.
It's crust soup. Pizza crust soup.
Crust soup. That's all it is. I generally have no issue, actually, with this. I just love getting out of jump by. I will say, truthfully, I am not a fan of deep dish pizza. But I would say that if you really wanted to, let New York have the pizza thing. I don't care.
Yeah, sure.
I could care less. I would say, though, Italian beef. Like, you want a good Italian beef, anywhere in the country, you go to Chicago.
Yep.
That's where you go for it. You go there for it.
I would agree.
A good plate.
I would agree, yep.
But that's the best. The best you're ever going to have is in Chicago. Yep. Especially you go down into the city, you go to down some of the blocks, and you find these delis and places like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Do yourself a favor. Get some of that in you. It is First Contact Day.
That's a really mean picture.
That is a very mean picture.
Come on.
They have a picture of two, you know, the stereotypical nerds.
Geeky guys,
Is that the Vulcan?
That's the Vulcan live long and prosper sign. The Spock thing,
On April 5th, 2063, Zefram Cochrane makes first contact between man and extraterrestrials.
That's from Star Trek.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
This is for Trekkies everywhere and let your geekdom out.
Yep.
Okay, all right. Right on.
We've only got 40 years. Until that happens. 40 years. So get ready, everybody.
All right. So who's working on the banner?
Yeah.
Who's working on the banner? Who's going to get the cake? We got to get ready for this. We got time. We got time. We don't have to rush, but we should probably get a banner. Shouldn't we have a banner? How great would that be? Aliens land, and we've just got this like makeshift banner set it up.
Welcome.
Yeah, that's it. Like four people out there like, hey. So,
actually, if you're going to watch a Star Trek movie, one of the newer ones, First Contact is probably the best one out there because it deals with that with Zefram Cochrane breaking the light barrier. The first faster-than-light speed engine, played by the wonderful, now his name is escaping me. Oh, my gosh, the really tall.
Well, what was he?
Anyway, so you look that up.
So it's a First Contact, a prequel?
They go back in time to do it. So it's actually a pretty good movie, and it's got this next generation cast. So you've got your Picards and your Datas and your whole
class. Oh, wow, it does, yeah.
Yeah, James Cromwell. That's it.
James Cromwell.
Wow. Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He plays Zefram Cochrane.
Yeah. Adam Scott's in it?
Yes.
Wow, I love Adam Scott. I might actually watch
this. It's a pretty good movie. I would say especially on today because it is First Contact Day. Yeah. So, yeah.
All Trekkies unite and rejoice.
Yeah, that's right.
It is National Caramel Day. I'm a fan.
I've got many caramel fans in my family. Many, many.
I'm not big on caramel alone, but caramel with chocolate. Mm. Hello.
Rolos, man. Rolos are good.
Yeah, Rolos are good. Yeah, Rolos are good. Some say that the history of caramel goes back more than 1,000 years, back to 1,000 AD. When the sweet treat was discovered, the name at the time was rather literal, calling it the Kurt Alamala, which means sweet ball of salt. It was the original name of Jerry Lewis's first single, by the way. That was the first. They had to change it, though. That's a horrible joke.
That was terrible.
The original version would have been crunchy type of caramel that was made by crystallizing sugar and boiling water, which is something more like what it is known as a crunchy toffee today.
Yeah, okay.
Caramel and other treats were enjoyed in the mid-1600s in the Americas.
Ooh.
So this has been around a long time.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Caramel apple. Oh, a caramel apple. There is nothing like a caramel apple. I love caramel apples. Yeah, those are good ones. Green, red apple, don't matter to me. Although a green apple is interesting. I do like a green caramel apple.
Yes, yeah. For me, a caramel apple, the more tart the apple, the better. Because I like the tart and sweet together. That makes it really good.
Yesterday, I believe, was Jill Scott's birthday. Today's a great day to listen to some Jill Scott. She's got a beautiful song called A Long Walk.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Today's National Walking Day.
Yeah.
Take in the fresh air, stretch your legs, and soak up the scenery, unless you are in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I would.
I don't know if it's good for you to be outside right now, because I don't know if you can see 5 feet in front of you.
If you're going to walk, have like headlamps or something on, get some light.
Yeah. Now you find the moment to get this in and then get it in. Even if it's not today, get that walk in.
Yeah.
You deserve it. And it's so good for you.
Yes.
Getting outside as much as we can, that's what we do this time of year, right? Mm-hmm. We're just trying our best to get out. I'll go outside just to get the mail, just so I can get outside a little bit.
Especially this time of year after winter starts to fade away. And it's like a whole new experience every year going out, and when the weather's getting nice again and the sun is shining, it's really like a rebirth.
It truly is.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to it. Looking forward to Melissa's news. That's what we're going to next. When we come back, we're talking about egg prices being so high that people are painting something different for Easter. We got to get
it. Should be good.
That.
Yeah.
Coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you at 7:35 on the clock. Little Foo Fighters in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Foo Fighters is one of the weirder band names, but it's a great band.
They are a great band, for sure.
We're going to get into some fun right now. And, of course, Easter right around the corner, coming up this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Egg prices are still high, so some families may be thinking twice about wasting several cartons for Easter eggs, Easter egg coloring.
Yeah, right.
And now there might be a cheaper alternative. Potatoes!
Potatoes USA is trying to take advantage of the price gouging on eggs by hyping potatoes as a replacement.
There you go.
And supposedly, people are actually giving it a shot. Some blogs suggest traditional paint for potatoes instead of dyes, and just making it an opportunity to have fun switching things up.
Yeah.
Others are using edible paint and water-based food coloring so the potatoes can be dyed and eaten, if you're down with that.
Yeah, right.
However, there is more of a stunt for laughs. How is this a stunt for laughs or than an actual hack, if you will?
Right, right.
For starters, a dozen potatoes might not even be cheaper than a carton of eggs, especially the smooth gold potatoes that are best for color and design.
Right, because they look more egg-like.
Yeah.
Yep.
And even if they are, it's a buck or two, so unless you're coloring on a huge scale, the cost saving is minimal.
Right.
It also doesn't solve the problem of losing an egg in the house until it rots. A lost potato would have a similar fate.
And similar odor, too. Yeah. It's not good.
As my mother told my father, Jim, why didn't you write down where they were? What? And that was a bad one. That was a bad one.
Oh, man.
And while the photos of some people dying potatoes look good online, the execution will be even trickier than getting eggs to turn out.
Yes, yes. And that's true. Eggs are pretty easy to color when all is said and done. So
there's a picture here showing Seth of a basket of potatoes colored.
It looks pretty convincing, yeah. I gotta say. I mean, because potatoes are, more not as universally, same shape, of course. Potatoes grow in all different shapes. Mm-hmm. So, but you can tell that. But other than that, it kind of looks like eggs. I like that.
Why do we paint eggs? Is there? I want to be careful here because I'm not a religious scholar.
Right.
So if there is a religious reason behind it, I don't want to sound insulting.
There probably is. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sure that there's obviously there's a reason that people do it, and I think there is originally a religious reason for it, but I don't know what it is.
I understand the rabbit connection to Easter because of the pagan holiday and pulling from that.
Yep,
I'm not sure about the Easter egg part, but just off the top of my head, the reason we color eggs is for fun. It's something to do.
Exactly.
It's something fun to do. It's a way to celebrate. It's a way to get together. Kids get to be messy and creative.
Exactly.
Even I painted eggs as a kid growing up. You know, I mean, it's one of those things every kid does.
Yeah.
If it's still fun, go with it.
Exactly.
And I would say that not so much price-wise, but potato, egg, whatever else you decide.
Right.
But if you're a parent, I think you're just happy they're not painting the walls. Like, right? Like, isn't that, like, aren't we just thankful they didn't, color on the walls or something?
Exactly, because it's fun. And then later, you can eat what you've done. Yeah, you can eat the eggs after you're done. So, and that's, because eggs are also kind of a symbol of rebirth, which is, Easter is kind of that, it's the whole, the religious side of it is all about, resurrection and all that. So it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense to me. There was something mentioned in that article that I thought is very telling. They said about egg price gouging. They didn't say inflation. They said price gouging.
Yeah.
Because that's actually what is going on right now. I believe 90% of the eggs sold in the United States are from one company. It's basically a monopoly.
Yes.
And because of the recent, avian bird flu, they had to slaughter that. They're basically using that as an excuse to price gouge with eggs, which is why they're so expensive right now.
Oh, wait, is it Easter? Oh, we didn't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, we just raised our prices right before Easter? Go figure. Yeah. It's one of those things where I feel like we... If I'm that company, I'm just like hiding, waiting until the government or people actually see what I'm doing, because I'm just trying to get away with stuff now. That's essentially what it feels like.
Yeah, exactly. No, 100%.
I'm glad you brought attention to that too.
yeah, it's very annoying.
I think that you could have a lot of fun with this, especially. Yeah. What I'm thinking of is the last time I colored eggs as a kid. I was like 12 or 13 or whatever, and I felt like I was too old for it or whatever.
Of course,
But I was doing it with my brother and sister, and it was fun, and I enjoyed it. I think if you think it's your kid's last time doing this or something, give them something different. Give them a potato. Give them a cantaloupe. I don't know. Give them a pineapple.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the sky's the limit. Try something different. I love it.
Why not?
Why not?
I'm not saying you don't. I'm not saying you should waste food necessarily.
No,
but
But, I mean, you know, have fun with it. It's a holiday. You should be enjoying it. You should be able to do two things at once, be able to be solemn in the moment of what the day means to you. But also, you know, it's supposed to be for kids having fun.
I have to give my dad a shout out here because he's always so creative with his Easter eggs. Mm. He has built Easter egg towers. He has built, I mean, all kinds of things. He's the one that perfected the plaid egg.
Nice.
Where he would do, you know, different colors on each side, and then it would blend together and make this perfect plaid egg kind of thing. He's drawn faces on them and stuff like that. He's very good. I can't wait because usually it's my parents do it like this Saturday before. So this coming Saturday, he'll send us pictures of what he did this year for his Easter eggs.
You got to share those with me, man. Yes, I got to see those. I'm serious. I got to see those. Yeah. That's awesome. Shout out to your dad.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I also, as long as we're doing that, I want to send a shout out. She's not with us, of course, anymore, but to my Nana. Mm-hmm. She'd put these great Easter egg hunts in their backyard at their house in Rome. And we didn't have a ton of space, but we felt like we did. Mm-hmm. And my cousins and I and my brother and sister would have so much fun with this. But it wasn't until I had kids and had to do these things that I realized putting a quarter, taping a quarter to an egg is not as easy as it should be. Not for me, at least.
Yeah, I can see that.
With these hands, it's like basically having two claws and trying to crush every egg, crush.
Yeah, no one told me this was like needlepoint. Yeah, I can't do that.
The talent. Yeah. Well done. Have fun with your Easter.
Please do.
You know, enjoy.
And if you really want to mess with your kids, I think it was the last Easter egg hunt I did. I was probably about the same age, you know, like 12 or 13, like that. My dad said, okay, I'm going to hide the eggs this year, all right? Because I knew that they were behind everything. So he goes ahead and says, okay, they're hidden, and they're in the most and they're super easy to find, most obvious place. I couldn't find an egg. Oh. Couldn't find an egg, and I'm going crazy. I'm like, what? Where did you hide these? And he said, he said the Edgar Allan Poe story, the purloined letter. And I'm like, huh? Oh. And he's like, think about it. It's the most obvious place. I was like, oh, of course. He'd put them all back in the carton and put them in the refrigerator. I think that was the last time I ever did it because I'm like, I'm done now. I'm done. Thanks, Dad.
That's masterfully done.
Yeah, it was.
Big shout out to him.
You're free to use that idea, parents out there.
That's a good one. Boy, that's a good one. I actually, even with my kids in their 20s, I want to do that to them still. I actually want to do that. My dad would hide the baskets. Mm-hmm. And my dad, not an ego guy, not an alpha male wannabe kind of guy or anything like that. But if there was a handful of things that he took a lot of pride in, he loved his lawn, still does, loves his lawn. And hiding Easter egg baskets was another one of those things. He was a master at it.
Love it.
There were times where he would like hide them in a box and put it up and like with all the other boxes, like things like there was no way we could find it.
No.
But it didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was actual plausibility of us finding it. It was just stumping us.
That's what he wanted. I love it.
The worst one, and it's not even that great of a place necessarily, but it was in the dryer. He hid one, and it was my sister's. And my sister was almost to tears.
She
was so upset she couldn't find it. And my dad's laughing and enjoying it. And he wasn't that kind of guy with anything but this. This was the one thing.
That is kind of funny. That is amusing.
Loved it. Take a break. Come back. Have some more fun. But before we do, I do want to let the audience know we'd love to hear your Easter stories.
Oh, yeah.
It's not enough for us to share ours. Let's hear some of yours. If you want, I think on... maybe on tomorrow's show, we'll see. But I think it'd be better if you guys emailed us or direct message us on Facebook or just posted them on our Facebook page.
On our Facebook, yeah.
Type into your search bar on Facebook, WFHR. Leave us some of your favorite Easter stories.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can email any of our staff. My email is james.maloff@civicmedia.us. It's the same thing for Seth or Melissa or any of our team.
That's right.
So go ahead and email us your Easter stories. We'd love to hear them. We'll share them. If you want us to share them, we'll share them on the air.
Yeah.
Take a break. Come back. More fun on the way on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 7:48 on the clock. Seth and I are going to take you right to the top of the hour. We'll get you up to date on CBS News. After that, we'll have a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Trombley usually joins us.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that and finding out what Mother Nature's got in store for us today with this London fog and everything.
Have we gotten every bit kind of weather so far this week? I think I think we've run the gamut this whole week.
I think so. Yeah. I think we've gotten
snow, rain, now we've got fog. What's next?
And
you know?
It's Wednesday. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right. We've already hit it. As far as the weather bingo goes, we've got it all. And bingo,
we filled up our card. Yeah. Jeez.
After we're done hanging out with Paul, we're going to get into if you ever wish to live off the grid for a few days, we're going to get into that a little bit.
Okay.
Here's an interesting one that I know nothing about. I love diving into these ones. It's a question that's being brought up online a lot. Is it appropriate to have a work spouse or a quote work wife or work husband who you have a strong platonic bond with outside of the house, but without any of the romance?
Okay.
I think fans of the show Parks and Recreation, Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman's characters.
Yeah, gotcha.
There was never any will they, won't they or anything
no,
like that.
No, not even close. Yeah.
But they were very, very close.
Yep.
Very deep, very, very good friends on the show and in real life. But.
Right.
So, well, this depends on the generation. Overall, 21% of adults say that they think it's okay to have a work spouse. While 45% say it isn't appropriate. But only 18% of millennials are okay with it, while 40% of boomers say it's fine. That might make sense if you think about it. Mm-hmm. If you're a young married couple, you're probably not cool with your partner having a close friend of the opposite sex at work. If you've been married 30 to 40 years and your partner has a work friend, it's maybe more of a comfort to you than something threatening.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Right away, out the gate, if you are doing everything that you feel that you can do and you're doing everything, you know, and you're communicating with your partner and everything like that, I don't feel like you have anything to fear. I don't like the idea of people being in a relationship, especially a marriage, and being fearful. That doesn't feel healthy to me.
No, that seems, that doesn't seem quite the way it should work out, right? The whole reason you're supposed to be married to someone is that you have implicit trust in that other person, to thick and thin, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
They talk about unconditional love. I think of unconditional trust.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more. That makes more sense to me. Because, yeah, you know you love a person when you marry. I mean, I hope so, you know, when you actually make that commitment, because it's a big commitment.
Yeah.
But it's not just about that. It's also every other thing that goes with it. So I think maybe we should update the language on this.
Yeah.
You know, like work spouse. There's so much that comes with the spouse thing, you know, wife, husband kind of thing. I don't know. I guess it's complicated by the whole working relationship thing.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by, you know, really a close friend? Are they a close, like, personal friend? Or is it just you work really well together?
Yeah.
And it's more of a good working relationship. I mean, the definition of the terms, I guess, is a little murky for me anyway.
You know, who are the groups of people we spend most time with probably in our day-to-day lives?
Right.
Our significant other and the people we work with.
Exactly.
So it's an understandable concern, I would say.
Yeah.
But I'm with you on the term. The terminology feels forced to me. I don't like it.
And I understand people. That's how they used to say it. You know, kind of a joking kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh, it's your work wife or your work husband kind of thing. I get that. But I think it doesn't seem to work much anymore.
I call Terry my older sister. You know, I mean, she's not, obviously, but
no.
That's just like a friendly kind of thing, like to show, hey, she's not just a teammate. She's somebody that I care about on a deeper level and such. And I appreciate the work that she does. I call you and Melissa my right and left hand. There's different terminology you can use for these things, I think, than a spouse thing.
Yeah.
I will say, that I don't like the idea, too. Words are amazing. Words are beautiful. Mm-hmm. But they lose every bit of meaning if we make almost too much of them.
That's a very good point.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, it is.
They're so vital. And a word can change everything and has that kind of power to it. And yet, it doesn't, too. Like, it doesn't.
But it's still just words.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that it's, you know, that it reflects reality as it exactly is. Yeah.
To this day, I don't care what age any of you are out there. If your mom or dad yells, stop, you're probably going to stop.
Yeah.
You're probably, especially if they use the middle name. But the word stop is just a, it's just a word.
Yeah.
It's just a word. I pull up to a stop sign. Yeah, stop. Okay.
Yeah.
I stop. And I keep going. Like, it's not a big deal. But it's all about the tone. It's all about the meaning.
Right.
If you're saying it flippantly, you know, my work spouse or whatever and everything like that, I think if you're the significant other, you got to take that in stride. You take it in stride. You take
yeah,
it
right.
Like, okay, I don't have that serious. You should know your partner. You should be able to read the room there and
right.
be able to tell, hey, are they saying this because there's something a little more going on there? Because nobody, if you're fearful about this, I would take comfort in, well, if I'm married to this person, not many people in the world can read them better than I can.
Right.
Like, and know what
they're... Hopefully, yeah, that's true.
I know what it's like when they're flirting. I know what it's like when they're, you know, this and this, because they did yeah. it with me. Mm-hmm. So I would be able to, I would hope that I'd feel comfort in, well, they're not expressing it that way. Or then, not to say that people are always honest. I understand that. But again... You kind of just have to, at a certain point, don't you just kind of have to roll with it? Like, yeah. I had about 4 or 5 relationships that just could not have ended more horrible.
Oh,
like,
no.
Back to back to back, man. And I had a stretch there where I wouldn't date. I didn't go out on dates,
right.
nothing like that. And at a certain point, I just kind of realized, like, I'd rather try and fail than just sit here.
Then I try it all.
And
right.
not try yeah. it all. Like, at a certain point, just kind of got to go push
yep.
forward, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really that uncomfortable with it, then I think you got more to discuss.
Yeah, no kidding. And this is an old concept. This
yes.
is not new. There was actually a radio show back in the 1940s called John's Other Wife.
Oh, my God.
And it was all about his work relationship with his secretary.
Wow.
And it was basically what we're describing here. It was it wasn't a romantic thing like that. But if you listen to the comedy shows back then, there was constant jokes about John's Other Wife.
Oh,
they
sure.
made jokes about it left and right. So, I mean, this is something that's been around for a long, long time. It's just, I find it, the polling numbers on it are really interesting.
Yeah.
The younger generation, and maybe that's because they look at marriage in a different way than the boomers
oh,
do.
I think that plays into it. I also think it's just an age thing. When you're,
yeah.
I think that latter part of the article was really hitting on something. When you are new in a relationship, you could be 100% sure that person is madly in love with you and still have some fears or concerns. Because
for sure.
It's new. It's, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know everything at this point, right, when you're first starting out.
If you're in your 20s or what have you, the people that were voting on that and everything, mm-hmm. just by the law of time, you can't have spent that much time with the person.
No.
Yet, so I get that. I get that a little mm-hmm. bit. And the older thing, you don't care. No, I'm joking. No, you just
hey, boomer.
You have a lot more. You have a lot more confidence
yeah.
in your relationship. You have data. You're like, hey, we've spent 20 years together.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you know,
experience is a great teacher for sure.
I think a lot of people too, and I genuinely mean this as a positive. Need to look at this as if they did cheat on you, if they did leave you, et cetera, you're better off.
Yeah.
You're better off.
It's tough and it's not easy.
No,
we're not downplaying that, but
not at all.
It's true. It's true. I mean, this is not the kind of thing you want to have to live with or deal with.
Journalistically, it is important for me to mention that I have rallied against SpaghettiOs my whole life. I've never been a fan. I don't understand how people could eat it. I don't get it. I also grew up in an Italian household where we made our own marinara sauce and everything.
I think there's a connection there.
Yeah,
just something, you know, maybe.
I'm not the guy for this article. I will excuse myself from it, but I will tell you about it because this is a food mashup that we're curious if you try. Just both products and do it yourself. You grab both products and do it yourself. Campbell's is teaming up with the makers of Frank's Red Hots and will start selling spicy SpaghettiOs. So normal SpaghettiOs with hot sauce mixed in.
Oh, goodness.
Their target market isn't kids, though. It's adults, especially millennials who grew up eating SpaghettiOs, but now have more sophisticated palates.
Yes, they've upgraded to ramen, I guess.
If you're eating SpaghettiOs, you don't have a sophisticated palate. No, but I'm joking. According to the press release, millennials buy over a third of all SpaghettiOs sold each year. Wow.
A third?
Wow.
Okay. Well, this makes sense then, I guess.
Almost half of adults, 35 and under, who still eat them have said that they have canned paste at least once a week. They know what they're eating. They know.
And
they're still. The spicy version hits store shelves nationwide this month.
Okay.
And speaking of spice, Heinz also just announced a new line of spicy ketchups in 3 flavors, chipotle, jalapeno, and habanero.
Yeah, it's still ketchup.
They've also got a new spicy version of their Heinz 57 steak sauce. Now, that I actually think is a pretty smart idea.
That one would work, I think. Yeah, for sure. That at least has more nuance to it than ketchup does. I mean, come on.
I think if Heinz is really good at what they do. And I think one of the things you do here, if you're Heinz and they've done things like this similarly, Jack Daniels has as well, you come out with a lot of flavors and you see how sales do.
Exactly.
And then, you know, some of them tally off after a while and everything, and you keep the other ones. And there you go, where you've got a whole nother way to sell ketchup to people.
Plus, now, great trick to plan your kids.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Here's some SpaghettiO, kid.
our brains went to the same place on this one. Yes. We still share a brain.
Oh, my God. Oh, milk. Where's the milk?
I mean, as parents, you don't get a lot of those moments.
We don't.
I mean, you got to take them where you can. I like the idea of doing it with the ketchup. I don't know. The ketchup is almost. No. The SpaghettiOs is sneakier. You're right.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But the ketchup's a little tricky. I imagine, though, the ketchup might not be the same color. So
wait a minute. What's wrong with this ketchup?
Yeah. SpaghettiOs. Looks like they look the same.
Yes, they would because Frank's Red Hot is basically the same color. So yeah,
are you a fan of either of those, SpaghettiOs or Frank's Red Hot?
Frank's Red Hot, I do like. That's a pretty good spicy sauce.
Yeah.
SpaghettiOs, I haven't had since I was very, very young. And I really wasn't a big fan then, so I probably, not gonna. I'm not the market they're looking for.
Yeah, I hear you. We will take a break right here. We'll come back with, after CBS News catches you up, we'll come back with a Weather Eye Weather Center live update on the morning show here at WFHR.